Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Palace have got all the answers then.
Right. That's not they've got the, all the answers, but
they've
got structure.
Do you know why they're doing well, Palace?
Because they've got structure and they've got good players.
They've got
good players.
They've got two of the best players playing. Palace are 14th in the league, so don't get all excited about Crystal Palace. No.
I've come to the conclusion Southgate can't happen.
Why not?
Why?
It can't happen.
If the players aren't having them,
well, that's
it's
the
not
going to
work, is it?
Why weren't the players up for it last week? I'm amazed with players. We'll be up for next week. Forget last week, by the way. Idiots.
Oh, my God. Are you rough?
Let's get some whiskey for him. Let's sort him out.
My frustration was with the players around him. Help him out.
Roy, probably just... Cats are amazing. I love them. Have you seen Cat's eyes?
Yeah, I'm not anti-Cats.
This man-to-man marking system Ten Hag does is killing Casemiro.
I think that's the most important 5-10 minutes that we've ever done on Stick to Football. We've got a very serious start this morning.
Go on.
Our partner Skybet have sponsored the British Heart Foundation for a campaign, £3 million to try and get three... lots of Wembley, so 270,000 people trained in CPR. And Tom Lockyer from Luton is a ambassador for the campaign and he's joining us.
He's there.
Tom, where you come? Fucking hell. Tom, what are you doing there?
Waiting for you to finish
about
Tom,
talking about your new suit.
In you come.
Tom Lockyer.
Gee, I'm thinking you're out there somewhere.
Hi, Tom.
Tom.
Hi. I've actually always wanted to meet Tom.
Tom, how are you?
All right. Tom,
you
all right? Such a pleasure, my friend. How are you feeling, Tommy? Younger yeah. form?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Look
yeah.
well.
No, I'm feeling well. Feeling a lot better now. So, yeah.
Just take us back, Tom. Obviously the playoff final. Was there anything? What was the sort of your feeling after that related to sort of what happened then? Obviously later against Bournemouth. Was that the first time that had ever happened to you at that point?
Yeah, literally, and it was out of the blue as well. I mean, looking back in hindsight, I've racked my brains over. Was I too excited? Was the heat? Was it? I'm looking for all these. What did I do differently? Different pre-match? Anything like that? Did I have more caffeine? I'm looking for all these things. Nothing. Like I've got nothing to say. Oh, that's what caused it. And before that, I've never had anything like that in my life ever.
Yeah.
So it was like, I'm like, why? Like, and I was sat there for ages. Like, why me? You know, don't like doing it. But like a little bit of self-pity. You know, I've just had the best season of my career and. You know, and now I've got a chance to play in the Premier League and this could be taken away from me. So I've got all these thoughts going on in my head. So it was a hard time. And then 6 months later, Bournemouth. And then, yeah, that just becomes even harder then as well.
What about from your family's point of view? Were they a bit scared for you going back or were they worrying?
No, the first time, no. My mum was probably the only one who had a few concerns over anything.
Yeah.
As mums do, but then the second time it has been a lot harder on them.
Yeah,
it's probably the first time I've really took their thoughts into consideration in terms of, you know what it's like as a footballer, you're really selfish, aren't
absolutely,
you?
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, whatever's best for you and your career and, you know, you pack up and leave, this is where we're going, it's going to be best for my football. So, yeah, it's probably the first time where I've really thought that yeah, what their opinions think. And, you know, my missus, she said, I'll never watch you play game of football again, which was obviously quite hard. And I'm hoping, you know, as time goes on, she might get a little bit easier with that, but I don't know.
Yeah. Where are you at now, Tommy, in terms of obviously from a health perspective, but also from a point of view of just sort of, you said you didn't have any doubts after the first one, but you must be obviously in a different position now from a sort of point of view of mentally.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, for a while I was questioning everything again. You know, I was getting into the dark space mentally just because I was putting on a brave face during the day, and then when I was left alone, when the missus would go to bed, I was left alone at night, just with me and my thoughts then, and then Google. And then, you know, it wasn't very, very pretty at times. But then I was like, why am I even wasting my energy on this? It's nothing I can control. So let's try and turn it into something positive. And then I spoke to Ollie and said, how do we turn this into something positive? Work with British Heart Foundation, try and raise awareness on the benefits of CPR and defibrillators. And that was kind of like turn me into, you know, negative thoughts into positive thoughts. But I think moving forward now, obviously it's been well documented, I've got the defib, same as Ericsson. I actually feel safer now than I ever have before, because if something like this was to happen again, that would kick in before anyone would need to do anything to me.
Have you been on the grass? Do you play? Have you trained? Or you're not training or anything?
No, not at the minute. I mean, the process is a long one. You know, it's not like pulling your hamstring where every physio and doctor knows how to rehab you and get you back to football. It's more of a complex one. The specialists are taking their time with it because obviously it's happened. Well, something has happened twice now. So, yeah. And then, like, obviously the mental side as well. I always think now as well, obviously I've got this, but if they're going to allow me back on the pitch now, there's going to be absolutely no doubt that I'm safe, because no one wants to see what happened again. So if I am allowed back on the pitch, I'm assuming that, you know, they have absolutely no doubt over me. And if there was a doubt, I probably wouldn't be trying to do it anyway.
So that means if they do say, you're going to go straight back in for, like, how you do again.
Full throttle again.
Is it right that you just became a dad this year?
Yeah.
Has that changed your perspective on things? Is it like there's things bigger than football?
Yeah, of course there's things bigger than football. Not a lot of things are bigger than football, but there is a few things. And, you know, I like just holding her like that and just looking at her like, wow, you're incredible. And it does almost think, you know, but it's like what I said, I don't feel at risk in any sort of way.
Yeah.
And if I was going back to football, I don't feel like I would be risking anything like that happening again.
Yeah.
So it doesn't affect me in that way too much. But obviously when I do see her, I'm like, yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. It's an incredible feeling, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
What's the sort of path now? What is the advice that you're being given at this moment in time? Obviously you were coach last Friday. We spoke to you before the game, the Luton Everton game, and you obviously moved into the dugout. But what is the path moving forward for you?
So I spoke to Christian and he put me in touch with his cardiologist who's done a lot of work, and he's done Daily Blind and Christian Eriksen, the well-known ones, but he's done a lot of work with other people, footballers well-known, but because it's maybe happened in training or away from any sort of sport, it's not spoken about and people don't know about it. So it's a lot more common than you actually think, and he's got a good track record of getting people back. He's happy to accept me on his program after the initial tests, and he runs like a bit of like a 5-stage program to back to the football field. But the first 2 stages are life rehab. So it's like, can you chase your kids around the park? Can you run for the bus?
Right.
So it's important more for me now more than ever, you know, can you chase your kids around the park to get these first 2 stages done and see where I'm at. But he said at any stage along this process, he could say, look, this test has come back, this result has said this, and you're going to have to stop it. And
are you being monitored all the time now then?
Yeah.
Like on a hour-by-hour basis, basically?
Yeah, yeah, and especially when I'd be doing exercise, they would be looking for things, and then there's blood tests, heart scans and stuff like that all the time. So, yeah, like I said, I feel safer now more than ever. I've got more eyes on me than I've ever had.
Yeah.
I've got these devices that can kick in when I need to. Obviously, I'd rather not have them, but the reality is I'm here now, so...
If you didn't go back playing and you focus on the coaching, would that still be a challenge or a test for you, like, physically? Because we've seen a lot of coaches and managers go through stresses, different type of stresses. Obviously, it's not running up and down the pitch and hitting people, but just would that be okay? Is that
yeah,
mental stress?
Have you not?
I know, because when I watch games, when I'm like not involved and I watch games, I feel it more than when I'm out there and I can affect the game. So yeah, I don't know. I see the stress that and the pressures that managers go through, and it's not nice, is it? Do you know what I mean? Mm. So it's probably not something I would look to do. But yeah, I don't know. I think it would be a lot of stress, but no one said anything this minute.
Obviously, last time I saw you was only a week ago. You were at the Luton Everton game. You came over and talked to us, and at the end of that match, when the final whistle went, there was almost like a disbelief in the stadium. I think two things. One, that they didn't know the final whistle had gone, and it was Luton were sort of trying to get that goal. You were trying to get that goal at that end. But then there was also, I think, a lot of fans just stood there at the end realising that felt a little bit like a moment that we needed to win tonight. And I think Rob Edwards is like that a little bit in the interview afterwards, knowing that obviously Nottingham Forest were playing Sheffield United on the Saturday. How has the atmosphere been this week? Is it still positive, or is there a sort of acceptance or a feeling that it might just be slipping away from us now?
No, it was a weird one, that thing. No one really heard the whistle go, and we would had one off the line. The overhead kick almost went in. Yeah. That would have cut, the roof would have come off, wouldn't it? But it's a difficult one because, you know, it's like now or never, isn't it? You know, and it's almost out of our hands now as well, because if Forest, you know, win the next two games, there's nothing we can do. But always said this season was going to be incredibly tough, whatever happened. Let alone you have 13 injuries, 8 of them were probably starters if they were fit. So to even be in this position, I think it is a massive credit to the whole football club and the lads who have slogged it out week in, week out. Because, I mean, Gary asked me the question on the night. He was like, what can you do differently? And when you've got no players, you know, there's not a lot different you can do. So, full credit to the lads. And I think if you'd asked any fans start of the season, if we'd been in this position with two games to go, they'd have probably took it. So
it's been a great effort.
It has been, yeah, yes. Especially, you know, I'm not disrespecting Sheffield United. When you look at their effort to Luton's and Luton's resources, it's been amazing. You know what I mean? But I do remember watching the Everton game, and your manager is so cool and he's so positive. But you could see there was a look on his face. Yeah.
It was like a resignation.
It really felt like that. Yeah. And it's not over.
No.
You know? Yeah. It's not over. You can't.
He's managed to still look great, hasn't he? Well, even though managing. Because a lot of managers go a bit downhill, don't they, when they manage?
What are you
like, looks wise.
What, you're going
well, you looking at me,
he looks great.
He looks
good. He's still gorgeous.
He does look great, yeah.
Tom's aged about 3 years in the last week. He's only coached one game.
I love his. There seems to be a rawness and a raw emotion about with Luton and the manager that you can see is connected to the fans. You can feel that this is why it's probably I want them to see if they can do it. The journey's been amazing. Yeah. Some of those players have played back in the third, you know, all the way to the Premier League.
Yeah.
The journey what Luton's been on, and not just the players, but the owners, the people that probably had to invest in the place to try and keep them going.
Yeah.
And now they're here and, like, they're maybe a win away, depending on what Forest do.
Mm. What have you found out the most watching close, but Luton coming up again, obviously they were up against it. Was it the quality, the physicality, the speed? Mm. Obviously, your injury problems.
The ruthlessness of it.
Yeah, probably the ruthlessness is like...
Because you did concede one or two late goals, where you look back and you go, there were big moments even to get to get draws maybe at home. Was it Arsenal, Liverpool? Big moments, weren't they?
Some good games.
We've left a lot of points out there in certain moments, and it's when you're on top. If you don't score, then you can get punished straight away. Like we played Wolves the other day, we had a great chance to go and score. I think the flag went up, and then straight down the other end, and you're 1-0 down. Mm. And you know, maybe in the Championship that doesn't happen. But in the Premier League, you just seem to get punished. And I think it took a while for us to adapt as well. When we first came up, the first, I don't know, 5-10 games, we were almost like in awe of like, wow, this is the Premier League. Yeah. This is everyone's dream. Because, you know, it's probably Ross Barkley and Marvellous Nakamba, the only two players who'd played in the Premier League before. Or Andros when he joined, So apart from that, everyone was like, wow, this is amazing. And we almost, you know, gave...
You starstruck a little bit. You think at the
a little bit, yeah. Yeah, too maybe much too respect, much respect to all the teams. And, you know, it took... I think the gaffer came in. We were due to play Arsenal. And he came in and we were at home. He said, lads, we're expected to lose. What do you want to do? We've been sitting back and we've been losing anyway, you know, trying to low block, like, cover the spaces. Mm. We've been losing anyway, so do you just want to go for it and give the fans something to cheer about? And if we lose,
good point.
They, you know, they're going to be
you're
right
going down
you.
Fighting, aren't you?
Exactly.
Yeah, you're having
and
a go.
Then So since that, we gave Arsenal a great game.
Absolutely.
Roy scored a great header at the end, but you know, it was a full free thriller, wasn't it? And the fans were just with us from then, so there was no going back from there.
It's so much more exciting, them games, though, as a player, rather than just sitting, shuffle right. left, exactly. shuffle yeah. right.
Because like, the teams that come up, you can do all that sitting in and getting well beaten anyway.
Exactly. Yeah.
You've shown it.
But then I think then, obviously, the way we want to play as well, the high intensity you need to go and press these teams, because it's not like pressing championship teams where you do a press, he'll pass it, you do a press there. Three presses, you normally get the ball back. Mm. In this league, they're all so comfortable on the ball, so you need to keep going.
Yeah.
And then when you're asking these players to go week in, week out, doing the same thing, yeah. you've not got no more reinforcements coming in to come and help. That's when I think, you know, because if you go press in this league and, you know, you're 3-4 yards off it, you're not getting the
you're
ball,
dead.
Are you?
Mm. Yeah, you're finished.
I wish you'd have been more starstruck against Sunderland in the playoffs. You were brilliant that day, yeah. by the way, but yeah.
Man, that was so a good guy, yeah.
So, Tom, going back to, obviously, that day against Bournemouth, the people who responded to you, you've spoken about them, about how they saved your life and the amazing job that they did. And it's actually happened a couple of times in my life where people have collapsed in front of me and I've been like a rabbit in headlights and I've not known what to do. So this campaign that you're sort of heading up with the British Heart Foundation, we've got, obviously, one of the nurses in today, and we absolutely urge you to watch the next 5-10 minutes because this could save someone's life close to you or someone that you may be passing the street. And it has happened to me. I don't know if it's happened to anybody else around this table, but you could be called into a position where you have to, you know, obviously provide CPR to someone and save their lives. So we're going to give you a demonstration of what that looks like now to everyone who's watching Stick to Football. And I don't know if you want to say a few words, Tom, about what happened on that day, about the people who obviously came onto the pitch and saved your life.
No, and you said it might save someone's life. It will save someone's life. Right. Someone watching this will be affected maybe in a year's time, maybe 10 years' time, and they'll be called into action. And what we can't teach you is you know, the bravery to step up and act, because a lot of people do freeze in this situation, but almost feel as if you know what you're doing in this situation, you're more likely to then step up and act and then become someone's hero. The paramedics who saved my life, you know, I was thanking them, you know, couldn't stop saying thank you when I seen them, and they were just like, at the end of the day, we were doing our job and they knew what to do, so they were able to act in that situation. But I spoke to the boys who were there as well, my good mate Carter Morris. He said, I seen what was happening and I knew what was happening because of the first time, but he said, I just froze. I couldn't move. I didn't know what to do. And I almost feel if, you know, obviously there's people there at that time, but if it was just me and him, if he knew what to do, he'd be a bit more likely to, you know, all right, come on. You know what you're doing here. Let's get it done.
Well, we've got an amazing member of staff from the British Heart Foundation, Estelle.
Come in, Estelle.
Yes, please come in, Estelle, if you can.
Hello, you OK? You're all right.
OK. Nice
to meet you. You're all right. All right, yeah.
So, Estelle, take it away and tell us and show us exactly what we need to do.
Right, so all you need to learn CPR is a cushion and your smartphone. You don't need your smartphone right now, but I will show you the steps to learn CPR. So get your cushion on the floor. You're going to kneel over if you can, if you feel comfortable. And we're going to pretend this cushion is our patient. So we found somebody who is unresponsive and not breathing. We've called 999, that's the first thing. So the ambulance is on its way. Then we're going to start CPR. So you're going to place your hands like this. So clasp your hands. You're going to have nice straight arms, lean over, pretend this cushion, so this is the centre of the chest, so right between the nipples, you're going to get like that, and then you're going to push down, so it's around 5 to 6 centimetres depth, so a really hard push, harder than you would think.
Wow.
Keep your arms nice and straight, shoulders directly above, and then you push like that, to the beat of Staying Alive, if somebody wants to sing that.
Come on, Jill.
Is that
that's it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You keep going until help arrives. So when the ambulance arrives, the paramedics will tell you to either to keep going or they'll take over. But if they see good CPR happening, they'll let you keep going while they unpack their equipment.
Should your strongest hand be on the bottom?
Yes, so whatever you're most comfortable with, but If there's somebody else with you, you can tell them what to do and they can take over, because as you'll see, it is knackering.
Yeah.
It's really hard work.
And how long would you normally do that for whilst, I mean, it could be 5, 10, 15
minutes. It depends where you live. I mean, in London, the response time is around 9 minutes to get to a cardiac arrest. What? In cities, it's generally that. But if you're out in the countryside, it can take 40, 50 minutes to an ambulance to get to you. So you would keep going. But an ambulance is on its way and then you're given CPR and you're giving that person the very best chance of survival.
How long
was
you can
swap with people.
You can swap.
You can swap.
Just interesting then what you said about the position. You said right in between.
Right here. So in that dip in your chest.
So it's there, is it? Because that to me would be, I would always think it was to the left over the heart. I would never think it was in the middle of the actual sort of chest there.
But why don't more people do it? Is it because they go into shock as well? Is that what you were saying? People panic and they don't.
And they worry that they can make things worse. At that point, you can't make anything worse. You can only help that person stand a chance of survival.
So keep going even.
Keep going. If there's a defibrillator nearby, you ask somebody to go and get a defibrillator. You can place the pads on the defibrillator. Will talk you through exactly what to do. So you don't need any training to use a defib. But what we're doing with Sky Bet is the British Heart Foundation are partnering with Sky Bet. We want 270,000 people, so that's 3 Wembley Stadiums worth of people, to learn CPR over the next year as part of our partnership. And it will save lives. CPR does save lives. We just want more people.
And how near would a machine be, you were saying? How, like in London, is there thousands and thousands? Like,
there's, I mean, we're aware that there's over 100,000 defibs out there in the UK.
Right.
Yeah.
We've got the Circuit, which is the National Defibrillator Network, which maps where all the defibs are. So the ambulance service can see where your nearest one is when you call 999. And ideally, you can send someone to go and get it while you give CPR. But there's a lot of defibs out there that aren't registered on the Circuit yet.
And are you trying to get more of them? Is that the plan?
We are, and we want all football clubs as well to have as many defibs as possible.
Yeah.
The communities around the football clubs.
Are they expensive?
Around £1,000. But you can get it out there, 24/7, public access, and it can make such a difference.
Of course, yeah.
Tom, how long were they doing CPR for you? Do you know?
No, so because they knew what was going on with me almost instantly, it was almost straight on with the defib.
Yeah.
So you were lucky where it happened, at a football stadium, basically, yeah?
Unbelievably lucky, yeah. Like we said, it was, I think the stats said less than 10%. If it happens outside of hospital, less than 10% of people survive. And when you put into context, 30,000 people in the UK have a cardiac arrest each year. So every football match, 5 people in the UK will have a cardiac arrest. Mm-hmm. That's 5 families ruined. Mm-hmm. You know, especially if the people don't know how to do CPR and then use a defib.
So the defib got your heart going in straight away. Is that what happened? Then they don't obviously after that point then.
Yeah, because they knew instantly, they came straight on the defib. They always carried a defib anyway.
Yeah.
Once they seen it was me after what happened at Wembley, they knew.
Just put it straight on, yeah.
And they knew straight away.
So this pump in the stand light is for till the defib gets there. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so you need to keep the blood flowing because the heart's not beating how it normally does.
You're beating,
you're basically the heart here. And like what Gary said earlier, Estelle, the geezer who saved Glenn Hoddle, he broke 7 of his ribs from doing the pressure. And people are scared of, but Glenn's here. He's here today, you know. He was sore for a few months after, but
broken ribs will heal, won't
yeah,
they?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Just quickly on that rhythm again, because obviously, I mean, not everyone will know staying alive, particularly sort of a younger generation.
Absolutely.
Because it seemed a lot quicker than I thought it would be as well then when you were sort of actually asking, what is there anything else that would be
I don't know many people won't know staying alive.
No, I'm telling you, you know what I mean? I can tell you that. You know, there's been some 20-odd-year-olds that won't know staying alive.
It's about 100 to 120 beats per minute that you need to push.
So two every one second.
Yeah,
it's literally that, isn't it?
It is. That's perfect, Gary. But what we're asking, so those 270,000 people that will learn CPR as a result of our partnership, they will learn through Reviver, which is the BHF's training tool. It's online, it's 15 minutes, it's free for everyone, and it teaches you how to recognise a cardiac arrest, how to call 999, because weirdly people are worried about calling 999 or when they should call at the right time, how to give chest compressions, so it will give you feedback on your chest compressions and a play staying alive, so you get the beat in your head, and then how to use a defibrillator
as well.
Do
something about up to date song as well, girl. Now I'm thinking about it.
There's loads. You go on Spotify and find, and you can type in life saving beats, and you'll get your own playlist.
We'll put them on this program. I think that's the most important 5-10 minutes that we've ever done on Stick to Football, because hopefully it'll help someone and save lives.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Right. Come on, we can get this done, or else we're in a mess.
Look at his car keys.
My grandson gave me that. My key ring. So I just put it in there.
Did Clattenburg give you that? Right, welcome to Super Six.
Right, sorry.
Yeah, he wants it back. We had a night.
Last week, Gary, 6 points.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben.
I fucking told you, but you don't listen to me. You never listen to me.
126.
Oh, what is it? Six. No, we.
You beat 357,000 people. Pretty good.
Oh. Well done.
So it was a hard week then, obviously.
Yeah, a tough week, yeah. And then Roy, 4 points.
Oh, right. Well, there you go. Beat a lot that many people. Bad. We must have beat a few as well.
Well, bad week for you.
108,000.
That's okay.
Right, Super Six.
Let's score.
You should have gone Arsenal.
Have we only got two more than these left?
I should have gone Arsenal.
I know, but what about the other ones as well?
Yeah, but the thing is going...
Two more left.
Two more left. This is it.
Tottenham.
Right. Oh, we have to go crazy here. Yeah.
Tottenham, Burnley. Right, come on, we'll go first.
Go on, you go first.
Definitely Tottenham.
Yeah. I don't think...
Oh, I don't know about that. 3-1.
3-1
you
Tottenham.
Love, oh, you love 3-1. You slagged me off. 3-1.
She changes her tune when she's across with Gal.
I know. I feel like I'm on the proper team.
Can I only get something on there? I don't deliberate. I just go for it.
Spurs are a thing at the minute, but like Burnley...
YouTube this questions the ins and outs of her. Honestly.
And the dog.
Gary, be quiet. Jesus, keep your nose out.
We'll just have breakfast.
But we have to gamble somewhere. Look.
It's true, it's a...
It's a must-win game.
We're all so nice in that.
Could you go like a draw? Could Burnley go down there and get something? No chance. I suppose we're awful last week.
They'll be down by the time you finish answering the question.
I'm gonna
go on, Ready. Go with you're London. You're neck of the woods, not London.
2-0 Spurs.
Oh well. You think they'll keep a clean sheet, set pieces
I think they
with
will.
The goalkeeper?
I think they will.
It's on the board. Right.
Newcastle Brighton.
That's Newcastle Brighton. This is this Saturday, yeah.
That's at Newcastle. Yeah.
Saturday 3 o'clock.
Newcastle. 3-0, 3-1.
Yeah, 3-1.
3-1. We give Brighton
big.
A goal.
No, let's not give Brighton a goal.
No, 3-0 then, right?
What do you think, big?
You're very kind of bossy today.
I don't feel bossy. I just feel really
you want to take control. Brilliant.
I feel decisive.
I go 3-1 again. They got a goal in Brighton.
You think?
Yeah, they do stupid things, don't they, going forward?
3-1.
Yeah, I go 3-1. You were decisive.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
Right, who's the next one?
Here we go. So,
it's the big one.
West Ham Luton.
West Ham Luton. Really fancy Luton,
set pieces.
I feel under pressure. Should we go draw?
Luton.
A draw's no good to him. A draw's no good to him. So, is this David Moyes' last game at home? I think they'll give him an amazing reception. I think the players will be up for it. There's a bit of a.
And why weren't the players up for it last week?
It is. Okay, last week I'm going West Ham win.
Do you think?
Players will be up for it next week. What was wrong with last week?
I'm not defending West Ham's players. I'm saying, I just think there'll be a thank you type environment.
And why didn't they tank him last week? I'm amazed with players. We'll be off for next week. Forget last week, by the way.
I think Jared Bowen's going to be a real problem for him. But, like, I think... What are you going with?
We're going to go...
We can't say they're getting beat when Tom is sat right there.
Sorry, Tom.
I think
it's nothing personal, this.
We're still feeling it as well.
Hurry on. What, we're going to draw because Tom's here?
Yeah.
Look, we're going to lose the whole competition because Tom... I mean, that's sentimental,
I don't do sentiment.
I don't do sentiment very well, Jill.
Hurry on.
Get on with it, Jill.
We'll go draw. We'll go 1-1.
It's Tom, though, isn't it?
We're going 1-1.
We're going Luton win.
Luton 2-1.
We're going to go Luton win.
See, they've gone for a win. Wow.
That's because is that because you're falling out with the West Ham players? No. He's falling out with the West Ham players. He's not having
enough. Yeah, West Ham players officially are a joke.
Yeah, well, we
turn up when we want.
There you hear it again, OK?
We needed a change, a new manager.
2-1.
That's why they never win nothing.
Because they have to get something. And well, West Ham's the kind of place where they can do
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Come on.
Bournemouth-Brentford.
You love Bournemouth.
I do. I love Bournemouth.
Connections with them, don't
you? I haven't got Bournemouth. I think that Bournemouth.
2-1. Let's go 2-1.
Yeah, give them a goal.
2-1
give
Brentford. Bournemouth, yeah.
I'm feeling good about these ones this week.
Do you know, I think
we're good to, I feel good this week.
That would have been my choice. I would have said 2-1.
You can.
What, to Bournemouth? No, let's do something different.
We'll do something different. Go on, Jill.
Do something different just because. You know, yeah. Just do what you feel.
Yeah, but I'm trying
1-0.
To make it interesting.
No, don't make
you
it
up.
Interesting.
What? 1-0. Or do you think more goals? We'll go 3-1 again.
Yeah, you can go 1-0.
1-0.
They're a bit tight, aren't they? 1-0's good.
This game is never going to be 1-0,
is it? Never.
Okay, if this is 1-0,
make sure you keep that as a
remember
this. I'd buy you new perfume.
No, I'll buy you some perfume.
Cheap stuff.
This is a nice perfume.
No, it's not a nice perfume.
You're better.
I'd buy you some really nice perfume if that's more than
one. It's your goal. Forest Chelsea.
You'll see.
I think it's a draw. I think it's 1-1.
No.
1-1?
What do you think?
No, go on. It's fine. I trust you.
2-1 Forest.
Forest have to win, don't they?
You think Forest will beat Chelsea?
I don't think
Chelsea away from home are a different animal. Don't
not.
I think Chelsea, I don't think, you know something?
They improved
Forest,
a lot, though.
Forest there with Gibbs White away.
But Forest mightn't have to win. Forest might stay up with.
A 1 year's back, I think, isn't he? He's on the bench now. You probably have
2-1 Forest. Come on, I've got my key ring there. 2-1.
Yeah, it's true.
Tom's there.
I think as well, you know, the thing is...
He's not listening.
He is.
This is the big one.
I think...
Yeah, it goes to the last game then.
I think Chelsea.
Arsenal.
Poor record.
Can we just hold back on... I'm not sure about the Forest. Because I think Chelsea...
I let you have the first two. You went boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense us going for Luton and then going for Forest as well.
So what do you want to do?
We have to say Forest are losing. Otherwise, it doesn't make no sense if Luton win. We need Forest to lose.
Ah, leave it, leave it.
Leave it? Let's leave it. Cut that bit out of the whole show. Right, this one. Right, who's first here?
Arsenal's you're first. Going to win big, aren't they?
I'm not going to go Arsenal to win. See?
That's how big they're going to win. They're going to set the place fire. On fire.
Everybody out. Okay, cool.
Toast is on the way.
So, you know something with this one.
You're really funny. You should be sat here.
That could be Carragher.
We just need to win the game. So yeah,
could be Carragher's. Yeah. What turned up?
Yeah. 2-1, 3-1 to Arsenal.
I'm going to go 2-1. 3-1.
Going to be
three,
big.
You know what?
Even
United can score.
There's
United.
Two things.
United can score.
Arsenal,
can score.
I'd say 3-1 Arsenal.
One, Arsenal, it's massive for Arsenal. Secondly, United's record against the top half teams isn't that bad at home. I think City
2-1 Arsenal.
Yes, I think United will.
City have beat United at home, but I actually think a lot of the other top teams haven't beat United at home.
You think Arsenal could drop points?
The other thing is they've got a really poor record. I think they've only won one in 16.
Are we talking about this? Are we going to put this Man United in the poor record vibe? Because this Man
United... this season, I think City beat United at Old Trafford, but I think Liverpool, Newcastle, Tottenham, Chelsea... Villa have all not won there.
Arsenal best defensive record.
Villa got beaten there. Villa got beaten there.
Yes, I'm saying to
why
you.
Why should we go there? Organised like just, we are, Gout.
No, I'm just saying it's like this game is almost as if like it's been.
I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
It's almost as if it's been dismissed because United that bad, which we all get. But that this could be a graveyard. Old Trafford.
United.
Yeah, but I think
United streak four cup finals left. Every game's a cup.
I
still think. Look, I mean, Arsenal should win.
We just want a prediction.
You're going to get one. Jill, where you at?
See, I think big me.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure Arsenal are going to win.
Really?
No.
Well, go for a draw.
Go on, you go for it.
Go for a draw. The title's over.
You got to buy
Jill for it.
Jill, you wanted to go Arsenal win, didn't you?
If you get it wrong, it buys
you. Do you know what I'm going to do? Look, I think Arsenal should win, but there's a madness about Old Trafford United. This game, usually on a title race, it doesn't, and it did do with Liverpool, but it doesn't ordinarily work out as you think.
Well, you know that, Gary.
And I think that City, if they win Saturday against Fulham, if Arsenal draw, then they could win the league. It won't go to the last day.
Should we go a draw then?
So I'm going to go 2-2.
Okay.
Ooh, I like it.
He's thinking outside the box.
It's just a feeling. Arsenal should win.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Go, Sega.
Arsenal should win.
Yeah. It's thank you.
I just had a feeling. I think Luton will win.
That's a feeling, isn't it?
It's a feeling. If it doesn't happen, a feeling is a feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
Jill, talk about title races.
Yes.
Last Sunday night, all hell broke loose.
Yes.
What happened?
I actually couldn't believe that day from the start to the finish. So, obviously, City women are playing Arsenal, 1-0 up. I think it was about 86 minutes. I was actually at the Lake District and I lost connection. So, I just thought City had won.
Mm.
And then Arsenal scored two goals right at the death of the game. So, Man City get beat. And then Chelsea have a 7-goal difference to make up in terms of the goal difference. And they get an 8-0 win on the night.
You know the thing is, though, Gal, it started... Just crazy. You know what it is, Jill? It started with Liverpool-Chelsea.
Yes, it did.
When Liverpool beat Chelsea 4-3 and Emma came out and she kind of said, you know, that's it. It's done. It's over. I don't know if it was mind games. I don't know what it was when Emma saying that, but she said it's over. You know, City then...
So who's favourites now? Who would be favourites?
I probably think Chelsea. Chelsea are favourites. Chelsea are favourites. You're looking at Chelsea. You're not fancy.
Well, I just want City to win so bad, but I would hate for them not to get the position they were in. I know, but the position they were in. So basically, Chelsea's got two games, haven't they? They have to win the two.
Against two, though, they've got tough games.
Yeah, they have actually. Tottenham and Man United.
But no, Chelsea win those two.
Do you think?
Right. Yeah. Chelsea, yeah. I think Chelsea win.
Well, it's probably going to come down to goal difference, really. Yeah. But I just think the position City were in at the beginning of that day, it was like it wasn't going to go any other way. And I just think that is what is so mad about football. This is going to be the closest title running that there's probably
would
ever
you,
been.
Would you say they battled it, or is that, can you say
it's a horrible
that?
Thing to say. No,
so a draw would have been fine against Arsenal. A draw would have been a good
much,
result.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, they're 1-0 up in 87 minutes. You know, I know that
is there a striker injured? Is there a missing a striker?
Yes, Bunny Shaw.
Yeah, right. Bunny
Shaw. Shaw's missing, but at the same time, a lot of women Moy was missing for Arsenal. I'm not saying it would be difficult, because Arsenal is a whole different story in what they underachieved for me this season. But if Bunny Shaw plays in that game, they probably win that game.
Yeah.
But for them to at that stage of the game, lose two goals simply because of concentration at that stage of the game, that game should be totally locked down.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen. And Stina Black Stenis, bam, two goals.
But there's going to be two great stories either way, because it's Steph Houghton's last season, yeah. 10 years as captain at Man City. She's retiring at the end of the season. And then obviously Emma Hayes.
It's good for the game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great for the game. But I think even Chelsea seeing that result and going out against Bristol and winning 8-0, that is such a big result. And I think for them to do that, they obviously deserve
that's what they're capable of. Again, I was very surprised that Liverpool beat them. It was too open. For an Emma team who were really quite organised, and I couldn't believe that Liverpool broke through them that many times. And so you kind of had the feeling that maybe this isn't their year. And then City's literally handed it back to them. When you look at who's missing from Chelsea, Kerr, you know, Millie Bright's only just come back. You know, Kerr with her hamstring, Fischl. Yeah. Out, you know what I mean? People like that, you know, like I say, Millie's just coming, Macario just coming back halfway through the season. Mm-hmm. You know, like Aggie Beavis-Jones, you know what I mean?
She's been brilliant, hasn't she?
Unbelievable.
Well, Ratty, you've got Jeopardy and Twists and Turns, a title race. That was the norm in the men's game. And there's just an inevitability about City in this last few years that you just think they're just going to carry on winning. And it's just, we need a twist and turn. You need twists and turns in title races to make it interesting.
Yeah, I think what hasn't gone Chelsea's way is kind of they've been a bit of a victim of their own success, because they were still in all four competitions. Yeah. In terms of fixture congestion, even though Royals here, the professional footballers, they should be at court with it. I can hear you.
And they had some tough decisions to go against them in the Champions League, wasn't it?
That was really tough.
But then City have only had the league to focus on since going out of the FA Cup and the League.
But if City are missing a striker, what's their squad? Are they missing
They've brought Chloe Kelly in, who wasn't getting minutes.
You know, Chloe's not a number nine. Mary Fowler. You know, she's not going to go in and be as clinical as Bunny Shaw. Bunny Shaw was, she was the one. She would have finished this off, I believe, for City. They haven't really got someone to actually to replace her. This is why, you know what I mean, they do need.
Do you watch every game, Ratty? Do you watch all the WSL?
I watch as many games as I can. There's so many games to watch. Yeah. But like, I think what this shows City is that they need another player. They need to sign a top player.
So who you going, Chelsea?
I'm probably gonna go Chelsea now.
Momentum.
I'm gonna hope City can pull it
and
out.
City, who they got left?
Aston Villa.
Should they beat them?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to
but
that.
Like
game
you say
on
that,
Saturday.
You say that, Jill, but for them to be as for me, just so lax at that stage with so much on the game, I wouldn't surprise me if Villa beat them.
Mm. I think so.
Yeah.
Right, talk about two late goals last night, Real Madrid. Bayern Munich. Wow.
What a game.
There's something, it's about inevitability. Again. Real Madrid, they have a hold on that. They have a hold on that competition.
You know what? Unbelievable. It really is. And Roy was watching that. It's just like amazing.
It is great to watch the Champions League. The standard, I think, at the knockout stage of some of the games recently, I thought have been
fantastic. Yeah.
Did you watch it together?
Yeah.
Oh, so you had a little bromance, no invite. Did you get an invite? No. I didn't either.
Friday didn't get an invite.
when are you not going to understand that I just turn up? Do I have to say it again? I'm turning up. I'm in Manchester.
Do you talk?
Well, you give credit.
You
know, we talk about.
Yeah.
We talk, not that much.
We just like every now and then. No, you know what? I'm one of those when I'm watching, I can't help but speaking about, oh my God, he's got. Oh, look at that left side.
Yeah, but we weren't.
Look at that switch. But we just.
Chatting. We weren't analysing it.
No.
But what you got to give real credit for, we think about the City game and over last year. They hang in there, don't they? Jesus. For all their brilliance, they hang in games.
And their experience, the manager, and they're just...
You just knew
it was coming last night. But the keeper makes a mistake, but they're ready to ponks on it. Yeah.
They take the advantage. But what it is that we talk about Real Madrid as they've got some hold on it and this and that, but it's different generations of players that have been
ingrained and indoctrinated in what it means to play for this club. That's what it should be.
Yeah.
And this is why you have to think that the opposition players are probably thinking when it's getting down to that stage. It's like Fergie time. You're getting down to that stage, you're playing at Old Trafford, you're starting to feel a little bit nervous. This is when they come. That's what Real Madrid have over everybody.
But mistakes. Mm. The mistakes come into it. The goalkeeper, brilliant goalkeeper. He was having a great night. Yeah. He threw it out a bit earlier, should have calmed down. And then it's a pretty standard save. Same. And it looks like
he just took his eye off it. I love the way the forward.
Oh, I loved it. Brilliant finish.
Do you not think the subs, though? The subs were a big one for me, I think. Well, just in terms of taking Harry Kane off.
But he's back. Tuchel said his back's not right. Yeah. But you know what?
I know you used to leave him on the pitch, but I don't think he was that great on the night, but I know you used to leave him on the pitch. Because it's a good chance it goes extra time.
Penalties.
I'm still thinking it might go to extra. That's what we said last night.
Even if he can't move today, you've got through. It doesn't matter about his back.
It does, Jill. You can't be that lax about someone's back, because the back is the worst.
If he's been taken off in the Champions League semi-final late on, his back's not
something's
good.
Something's wrong.
His back's not good.
Can't be.
He would not be taken off. He's one of them players, he's solid as a rocket. Yeah. You know what I mean?
What I loved about watching a game like that where Real Madrid was so dominant, but they broke a few times, right? Bayern. And it was like, it was devastating, especially when Alphonso Davies came on. Yeah. Devastating. You could see him actually in that side. You know, Gnabry went off, he came on, and he was electric. And you're thinking, this is perfect the way they're playing. It was almost like
Dortmund were good.
It was like Dortmund against PSG.
Dortmund were
brilliant the way they silenced them.
Justin, do you talk about an example of Manchester United, and we'll come on to United in a bit, but Jadon Sancho, he was awful at United. He was awful. Let's be clear, you know, his performance levels, his confidence, his belief. He goes to a different team, and all of a sudden you start to see a player that thinks, how's that happened? Why is that happening time and time again? That players with great reputations come into Old Trafford and they just don't work. But then
they
come back out and they go, they're normal again. Yeah, no, in the last it's probably happened for 10 years, right?
Okay, 10 years.
Who else would you say that? How many are you talking about players who've been at United?
I think over the last 10 years, Roy, there's only one player that Manchester United have signed that I think has actually lived up to expectation or achieved what he has done previously, and that's Bruno Fernandes. I can't think of any other signing that you would think has gone on to excel at the club.
Maybe David De Gea.
No, that was before. Sir Alex Ferguson. Okay. But Luke Shaw, probably, to be fair, when he's been fit, but he's played at a high level, I think, and grown from where he was maybe at Southampton. You could maybe argue that. But all the other big signings, whether it's Di Maria, Schweinsteiger, Falcao, whether it's Pogba, whether it's Maguire, Mount this season, Varane, every player. There's none of them I've missed.
I think.
Why is it that Jadon Sancho can come in then all of a sudden just go back?
Every case is different. I think the Sancho one, I saw him against Atletico recently. And he wasn't that great, don't get me wrong. He does look a bit sharper, I think, in the last few games I've seen him. But I think that can happen to a player. Can go to a club, a bit of a fallout with the manager, whatever. And again, I still think playing for Man United and Dortmund is different. I know Champions League is a big competition. He's been in Germany before. And maybe just kind of more comfortable in them surroundings. Right. You mentioned desire, confidence. Mm. He's obviously got that now.
But why don't we create a comfortable surrounding? Exactly.
There's obviously a problem at United in terms of the bigger picture. Listen, we'll be here all day talking about whether it be the recruitment, whatever's going on at the training ground, whoever's taking the sessions, whether it be in terms of setting good examples. I think all that, there can't be a good atmosphere, I think, at the moment at United's training ground. There can't be. For all that to happen so much. Yeah, a player can come to your club and he might struggle. But as you said, there's so many coming to the club and it's not as if they've not improved, it's almost they've gone backwards. Mm. And that must be a concern for the ownership, for the manager, the coaching staff, the supporters, because you're looking at Man United and you're looking going, it's happening in front of your eyes and you're thinking, can it get any worse? You're thinking, well, it could get worse. They've got Arsenal coming up, they've Newcastle coming up, they have a cup final coming up.
I think that when you look at Jadon Sancho, even with the, like you mentioned, the Atletico Madrid game, and I watched that, but what you saw with that is he still knew exactly what he had to do. He might not play well in the system, Roy, you know what I'm saying?
But
what we saw is that he actually understands where he needs to be, how he can, when he does get on it, just go and make something happen like we saw him do against PSG, and he looked
But
there's
no reason he can't go back to United next year and have an impact.
But have they got the same structure in what he
clearly
needs?
Not.
This is what it comes down to, I think.
Clearly not. Environment as well, like a player going in should be able to thrive, shouldn't they? But the other thing, it's going the other way, and I've seen him after, and he's like, it seems like Dortmund have got like a great ambit, and they're dancing, they're what, like, I can't see United doing that, and I don't think they're creating an environment where players go in and reach the next level. It's almost like they're going at a certain level and they go down.
You wouldn't want to sign for United this moment in time. And the player has to take responsibility. Sometimes you have to go in and find your own form and find your own
Bruno way
of having an impact, whether it be Mountain, we see players are picking up injuries, etc. But you have to go into an environment, from my own experience of going to a club where you go, you've got to walk into a good dressing room. You think, listen, there's a bit of a momentum at the club. There's people making the right decisions. But maybe United, for all the bad decisions they've made over the last 5-10 years, maybe they're getting what they deserve. If they're making such bad decisions at board level and the recruitment side of it, then maybe you just... Maybe you deserve to go through this difficult patch.
But the thing, seeing Jadon play like that, you can't help but look
it's stark for a Manchester United fan. You look at him playing like that in the Champions League biggest games, and you think that's a real. It shines a big light on it. We'll come back to United a bit. I think when our friend from Liverpool turns up from the train, because we'll talk about you weren't happy with his Casemiro statement. But this week, David Moyes has been announced. It's been a bit messy at West Ham this week. I've got a little bit of sympathy for West Ham. In terms of what's happened this week, and to be fair, it didn't look particularly good on the club in terms of how it's happened. The leaks of the new manager coming, David Moyes, unbelievable performer and servant to West Ham, didn't deserve that at the end. But as a club owner or a club sort of CEO, there's a fine line between ending a manager's tenure at your club and having the next one lined up and looking like you're smart and you know what you're doing, versus letting the manager go who's been there for a long time and then starting to work out who it is and looking naive because you can't get someone in. I think what West Ham have tried to do is make it smooth, and they've obviously got the comms wrong at the end. Where are you at with the way in which West Ham have dealt with David Moyes' situation?
It's not been good. Absolutely. Surely you can see it. There's obviously his contract's up. David's not daft. He knows if there's not been chats the last few months, he will be moving on. And you can do it. What happened to clubs doing their business discreetly? Surely you could have. There was pictures of managers flying over to have chats and all that's getting out there.
With agents, I think that's more difficult now, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Hey, listen,
back in the day, though, a picture was took on a disposable camera. Now you've got cameras everywhere. Isn't
I think
there?
There's definitely ways of doing it. There's classy ways of doing it. And the way David Moyes deserved better than that. Yeah. He deserved better at Man United when he left Man United. The way that was handled, like really.
Yeah, it was bad. Yeah.
Really bad. Class.
Oh my God. Are you rough?
No, I'm fine.
Oh,
it's not right, is it? Sorry.
Look.
Does that say we have no memory tonight?
That
sums up his last 2 weeks.
Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah, good, thanks.
Let's get some whiskey for him. Let's sort him out.
Hey, no more drink for him.
I needed some whiskey yesterday when I saw that fucking advert.
Didn't you like it? I was saying that.
Yeah.
Look, I thought he looked good. And that's why he's probably waiting for comments like that.
No.
Is that
that's not Hawes and Curtis.
No, that's nice.
How much was it?
So we'll come on to your late.
Yeah. How much?
Sorry, did you sleep through your alarm?
You slept through your
alarm. Don't turn it on to me having walked in 45 minutes late. Yeah. You slept through your alarm.
I'm still getting full pay, or no?
Have you ever have you done that before?
Sorry, Roy.
You slept through an alarm.
That's a really important point.
What's happened,
Jeff? Did you go for a few drinks last night?
No, I didn't, no. I just knackered. Monday night football.
No, this morning.
We're on West Ham, David Moyes, and looking like they've got their ducks in a row before leaving, but obviously it's gone wrong for them because they've had, obviously, a situation where it's not been handled in a communications fashion, in a correct way, and it looks messy. And he didn't deserve that at the end. That's where we're at.
Yeah. And it is messy, isn't it?
Would you then, because people have said in the last few weeks about Jurgen Klopp being announced at Liverpool early and doing it properly because he deserved, would David Moyes have deserved that sort of standalone announcement?
They have any choice but to do Liverpool's like when they did.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, because David Moyes a few weeks ago said, look, we've come to a decision, we're going to end it at the end of the season, and then say, let them go and get a new manager, because when you're pursuing managers like Liverpool have done with Arne Slot, it doesn't look as messy because it's all pretty obvious.
What could West Ham have done?
I'm saying I've got some sympathy for West Ham in terms of getting things lined up. They could have announced it. David Moyes could have deserved, though, good communication around it and maybe being told. They could have announced David Moyes leaving earlier to allow them to go and get the new managers lined up. That's the only thing they could have done.
Yeah. Football's ruthless, though, isn't it? Like, nowadays, you don't get them perfect moments, them send-offs of flowers. You just sometimes you're just another cog in a system.
But it's not necessarily about a perfect send-off. It's just showing the manager a bit of respect.
Yeah, you know? No, I agree, like, they should have done it. But
obviously, West Ham are going to be speaking to other people, but you don't need to know all the names. You don't need to see photographs of it. We all know that goes on. Clubs speak to other people, and of course. But why does it have to be always out there? And
it's the names being the agents, Roy.
No, no, listen, it doesn't help, of course.
So yesterday morning, where's my phone?
What day
what's
was
up,
that?
What's up now?
Yesterday morning.
Yesterday morning.
What year was it? Yeah.
Let me just find out. Let me just get this. It's a bit messy.
Just after he signed his
suit
deal.
What's up, Gary?
What's up, Gary? There was a headline sent to me.
What was it?
Ian Wright defends Casemiro and brands Jamie Carragher disrespectful for brutally telling Manchester United's midfield to call it a day and saying football has left him.
Fight, guys, come on.
Obviously, Casemiro, the other night, he said he should retire.
Yeah.
I didn't say he should retire.
No. No. James said he's... I remember just watching it. Obviously now, because I'm always fighting something in the paper, whether it's you or Roy, whatever you said, people always digging me out. What's your mate talking about now? But the thing is that it was only when, you know, I was just thinking of myself as like when...
What?
What happened there? Nothing.
It was a cough, I think.
Casemiro?
I was only thinking about it as myself coming to the end and hearing people when they're saying that you're done, it's over kind of vibe. Simply because we are talking about a player, and you have to mention Sancho, like we mentioned Sancho earlier, and how he's gone somewhere with structure, how he's playing now. Still talking about the Brazilian captain here, who's 32? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? In a team with no structure, he's just there in space, and you know what I mean? He's being exposed. And I just felt like only in that moment, just like with the League Two, those moments when you say things, it just takes it to another place of, like, you think, oh, God, I'm going to have to fight off again. But at the same time, you look at his career, you look how well he's done, and of course, but when you're that exposed, James, you know, it's like, fuck me.
He's the last player you would have played a centre-half against
Palace.
Yeah. In his defence.
You know.
Yeah. Like, for all his experience. So, some players have all the experience, but they don't show it at certain times. But if you're looking at the whole Man United squad, if you're telling me one player I wouldn't play centre-half against Crystal Palace, who at home have got something going, they've scored five against West Ham recently. They'd
beat Newcastle.
Beat Newcastle two. Yeah. They even scored two against City. You're telling me... He's not playing centre-half against Crystal. I don't care.
Would you play Wan-Bissaka instead?
Anyone.
James, would you play Wan-Bissaka instead?
In that game, I would have.
In that game.
I thought
I'm not saying you're having a great time in midfield anyway. You're on about being isolated. Talk about a manager, if you're saying, as I got a bit older, and also when you get to 31, 32, and every time you have a really bad game, and it was a shocker. Every time you're back, you're finished at that level. Mm-hmm. But players can get through it. If they're playing the bloody best position.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So I looked at Casemiro the other night and go, he's having a bad time, but I'm thinking, the other players, he's not getting, obviously, any help. If your legs are going a little bit and you're not quite, you get people around you. That's where he probably should have done better with his experience. Or the players, defensively, he got no help whatsoever.
Yeah.
They're all over the place.
Oh, they were all over the place.
We speak about that all the time, though, don't we? About that midfield.
But that's where your experience comes in, Joe.
All the time.
Another thing as well, Joe, though, was Casemiro's, like I said, captain, he will be playing in the Copa America. I bet he's not that exposed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I just watched it, and it wasn't off one game. I mean, I did a piece on Casemiro at the start of the season against Tottenham, and that was a bit like... This man-to-man marking system Ten Hag does is killing Casemiro, and that was killing. It's been killing him for a year. I think we did it, didn't we, after the Tottenham game, which was I think Man United's second game of the season. And he's not the most mobile, and I don't think Ten Hag's system helps him. But I've been watching. That wasn't a reaction to that game. This is like I feel like I've been watching this for six. No, I'm talking. I feel like I've watched it all season.
But something happened in the summer, Jamie. I think certain players go away, and I think some players go away and have a really good summer. I'm not saying he's less. He did have a good year. He did have a good season last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And some players come back and they have something. When you say a good summer, listen, I've been there, done it. It's almost he's not recovered from it. Mm. He just can't get going.
When I was watching him on Monday, I think I said at half time, it was sad to watch him because it.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news?
All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
When you have a bad game, we all have bad games. It was almost like, I could imagine people, you can imagine social media, and you know what that's like, but it was almost like a bit laughable. You know, you think like falling on the floor a little bit and like, do you know what I mean? I just thought, wow, it just, I don't think, when you see a player of that stature, five Champions Leagues, captain of Brazil, Real Madrid, I was looking at that thinking, I don't want to see players of that stature.
You can't
doing
play him centre-half, Tim. No. You cannot play him centre-half.
You know what, Roy? I agree with you. I totally agree. But I think some of the things in the game were not about being, like, for the first goal, that could have been you as a holding midfield player where you step out to someone. And the one on the byline for the fourth goal, yeah. That could be, yeah. You could end up there.
Of course.
In the field there.
I'm not saying he didn't have a shocker, but I just think.
Now.
Yeah, listen, confidence. Even great players will have a little dip in confidence. He's looking what's around him. Who's kind of. Who's helping him?
Motivator.
Yeah. This is a top class player. And you're looking at the lads around him. Johnny Evans. Johnny's a centre half. That is his position. He's got full backs around me going. Sometimes you recognise the reason you're playing a team game is you look at one of your teammates, you go, it's not happening. It's not happening for him today. Mm. And it might be happening for the last few months. But I'd forgive a player if he's having maybe a tough time, but when he's also out of position against a team who go, listen, we've got a couple of good players who can go by people, even people in their prime, and then it compounds the mistakes. But my frustration was with the players around him. I was like, fucking help him out.
Yeah.
Help.
But the whole
Johnny,
team
you want a centre half. Your fullbacks, even if you go, well, I've been there before. You sit back and you go, lads, we're up against it.
Come back.
The two foot, just sit in.
You played centre back a bit, didn't you?
I played centre half, yeah. And I tell you, that was tough.
We actually played centre half together at Selhurst Park against, I think it was Wimbledon or Crystal Palace, in a similar type of team that Crystal Palace have always had, where they've always had players who could cause you a problem with pace.
What age was I then, or Gary? Like, what age?
Probably mid to late 20s. So I was early 20s.
I had a bit of pace to me. I'd like to think if I was ever caught out, and there was, listen, good players around me.
He was dribbled around 8 times on Monday, Casemiro, which is the most, I think, that any player has been dribbled around.
Right.
Which is obviously a problem.
Yeah. But again, there's one or two players, Palace, they can do that to the best of players. I don't know what knob is them players, and they have a big, they're powerful players, and they were at it. But listen, Palace are home.
Palace.
And everyone would look at it and go, Palace on a Monday night, it's going to be a tough night. Yeah, and he was isolated. Isolated through his own fault because he wasn't getting people around him or lads weren't helping him. Yeah, you have to take responsibility for that. But I still look at, if we're talking about, it's a team game, structure this, structure that, playing between the lines, that's all well and good. But the reality is when you're up against it, you need your teammates around you. That's the whole idea of playing in a bloody team when you're having a tough time. You hope your keeper makes one or two saves. You hope your centre-half, who's played hundreds and hundreds of games, will go, listen, I've got it. If you want to, you know, whatever. We've seen Harry Maguire have a hard time. Harry Maguire's a centre-half.
Yeah.
So, again, out of all the players at Man United, I'm talking about the reserves and you. I would go, would there be one player I wouldn't play centre-half against Crystal Palace? He'd be the one I wouldn't play.
Would you be happy going forward with sort of Casemiro sort of still being almost front and centre of that team next season in holding midfield? Do you think?
Them worries you there as well. Obviously, that's another argument regarding the other night. But you hope if he got. Again, I go back to it, since the summer, whatever he's gone up to in the summer, he might have had a really good time. He's not got to back up the speed.
There's two things on that, though, Cary. One, he's on a 5-year deal. He's 4 years plus an option. And secondly, he's on huge money. So it's very difficult for them to get him out, I think.
Yeah,
so
of course.
He's got 3 years
left. He's not going anywhere.
I think when you talk of Man United and when you talk about the structure of a club and you get new people coming in, no one can get every transfer right, but there's certain things you don't do. You don't spend that amount of money on somebody that age that length of contract, and then he just that is like.
I think they
but
know.
But it's done now, though. That's
we've not plan for him.
I know they know that now. Yeah. I mean, weren't they know?
No,
I mean,
but we said it at the time. To be fair,
it was unbelievable.
There is a wider worry about, you know, if you look back to, you know, I went surfing on YouTube this week.
I thought you were going to say you've been surfing.
He's modelling. He's surfing.
If you look at a lot of Jose's interviews, Ranić's interviews, a lot of the interviews of managers, talk about players are injured too much, about the style of players being questioned, about the manager doesn't know what he's doing, about the players, to be fair, it's a graveyard. It is a rinse and repeat this now for sort of four or five times. There is a wider sort of issue that just exists because at the start of the season, you know, Liverpool didn't have a midfield at the start of the season, right? They didn't have any midfield, right? They're Curtis Jones and Harvey Elliott at the club, right? They signed Endo. Would you have swapped Endo for Casemiro and Amrabat at the start of the season?
You're trying to justify that thing.
No.
I've seen that one.
Let's finish, James.
This is a serious conversation about players at Manchester United. It's a serious conversation about players at Manchester United, what happens to them. You'd have taken Mount over Szoboszlai. You'd have taken Casemiro over Endo or Amrabat over Endo.
Well, not maybe for the fees, Gary, or for in terms of
take,
talent.
Not as a player, and you'd have taken Fernandes over McAllister, right? You'd have probably taken Kobbie Mainoo over Elliott, you might have taken McTominay over Curtis Jones. As a player, as a five or a six. And then you've got Christian Eriksen as well. They've got six players in that midfield that I think are good players, right? They might not be the best, but they're a good players. Right. If you gave Jurgen Klopp and a stable Liverpool, that's six, and you swap that five from Liverpool into Manchester United, what do you think would happen to those players at Manchester United if they swap them over?
They'll be better.
Yeah, definitely.
That's my concern, is that, you know, the six players that are there, why is every player dying on their feet at Old Trafford?
Because we mentioned it earlier, the environment and the culture at Man United must be horrible.
And the managing and the coaching, isn't it? Like, what combination works best? Like, there's got to be some element of kind of responsibility on the manager, because, as you say, Klopp would take them in and he'd work out his best three, who's going to work with who. But I do agree with you. I think the reverse would happen.
But don't forget Liverpool's midfield last season. That and the reason it was changed. Jordan Henderson and Fabinho left the club because he couldn't run. Liverpool wouldn't have bought Casemiro. They probably wouldn't have bought Eriksen. You've got two players who you bought a year ago who can't run.
No, Karen, I'm not saying. Just
could certainly be doing better, you mean. Yeah.
The point is, if you look at the six players that United have got in that midfield and you've got to get two
Well, that goes down to the manager. You've got to get the structure of the club.
I know, but we've said
he's asking them to play.
But we've said that. If you look at the interviews of Ollie, you look at the interviews of Louis van Gaal, the interviews of Jose Mourinho, there's a large sort of alignment with what Erik ten Hag's now saying. So what do Manchester United do now? Do they just say, right, OK, you're going to be our manager for the next 2 years because actually we think the problem is just a bigger problem and we don't think you're the individual problem, because Jose wasn't the problem, or Ollie wasn't the problem, or Louis van Gaal wasn't the problem, or David Moyes wasn't. They've all found it difficult. The players have all found it difficult. Every one of them has decreased in value and performance since they've come to the club, apart from Bruno. The only one that's improved...
That's the big decision they have in the summer about the manager, because...
But I think, where does that leave you in terms of, is it just a case of, OK, you just need to have a clean sweep, or... Are you thinking, actually, why don't we just say, no, it's not the manager, it can't be the manager. Actually, every manager's died here in the last 10 years. Every player has virtually died in the last 10 years here. And we've got to start to think, right, OK, we're just going to stick with what we've got. Because Casemiro, he's going to be here at Manchester United next season, unless they can get somebody from Saudi Arabia to pay huge money for somebody. He's going to be at Manchester United, so they've got to work with him, haven't they? Yeah. You know, Jorginho's a good example. Right. Jorginho can't run. All right, he's better on the ball, but he can't run. Right, and he was finished at Chelsea. Everyone said he can't run. He was finished at Chelsea. Goes to Arsenal. He looks a beautiful player in that Arsenal midfield with Declan Rice one side and Odegaard the other. With that centre back partnership.
But that is part of the manager's
With that centre back partnership,
Gary,
he looks a hell
of a lot of these.
But that's my point. So you can play in that position and not run.
Yeah, you can shy away from the manager's responsibility. But I think there's certainly, again, the bigger picture, something's not good at the training ground. Yeah. It can't be. Yeah. But of course, a manager has to come in. If you said, give these players to Klopp or Pep, world class. Would I think they'd get more of them? Probably. So that's where the manager goes, listen, you have to take a look at yourself as well. He looked isolated the other night in the sideline.
He did.
And sometimes you're looking at the staff around him. You know, you've got to bring something to the party, create something, and it's just not happening, is it?
Has he lost the dressing room, do you think? Like, how do the players feel towards the manager?
All the dressing room. Jose lost the dressing
room. No, but has he? Because when you say about, is he going to stay for the next 2 years, if the players aren't having him,
well,
it's not
going
to work, is it?
Jim Ratcliffe has to make, because they've not really made a big decision yet. Hey, it's all positivity the last few months. They're coming in as if they've got all the answers.
Yeah.
Do they stick with him? He's not their man. Or do they go, listen, we're not messing about.
off he goes, and we're bringing in.
Well, he seems
whatever.
To be sorting everything out, but in the background,
it seems
he?
To be. Yeah,
like the staff and everything, he's sorted them all out.
Once the structures change, if it doesn't become successful, who are you looking at then? You're just saying that's always down to the manager then, because they have got the right people.
No, I'm saying now there doesn't look to be. I mean, to be fair, Liverpool are not finding it easy to get a manager. Other clubs are not finding it easy. Bayern Munich are not finding it easy. Where do Manchester United go from? There's no sort of, if you like...
Hey, yeah. Well, that's another,
you have to win something, because like someone like Glass, look at Oliver Glasner.
Yeah,
you have to win something, because look at what Glasner's done. 13 games. Look at Palace. Look at what Palace done at United. That's what we should all be talking about. That's what it should be.
I've come to the conclusion Southgate can't happen.
Why not?
Why?
It can't happen. Well, is Gareth... There's no way Manchester United can wait till July, mid-July, when pre-season's already started. They look like they don't know what they're doing. And there's no way Gareth can announce before a major tournament that he's going to Manchester United. It would create absolute... He won't do that. Honestly, you know Gareth, I know Gareth. But there's no way in a week's time we're going to see an announcement that Gareth Southgate's leaving England after the tournament to go to Manchester United. That would just create absolute turbulence in the England squad for a month. He's not going to do that to the FA or to the England players and create that huge distraction. You're going to have a nightmare tonight. That's not, in my opinion, that's not happening. It could, but I don't think that's happening. Mm. I think the likelihood of them naming him in July after the tournament, and it'll become pretty obvious then that Manchester United are waiting for Gareth Southgate to finish the tournament, which become equally as bad. I can't see that happening for those reasons.
They might stick with the manager.
So I think actually they will stick with the manager. I think at this moment now, I think they will stick with the manager.
Really?
Of course.
Who's doing the main coaching at Man United?
I think he does the main coaching.
Does he do it?
Yeah. I think he does.
Because everybody, I saw Scholesy the other day talking about how good McLaren is, and then you look at Man United, you look at how they play, how they set up. Jamie done a brilliant bit on the Monday night where you showed Nana and where they were and how high up they were. Weren't even looking to turn around to
mates now.
To get them. We're always mates, Jamie. Weren't even looking to get the ball to play, and you're thinking, well. They're blasting it up there. Who's going to win it up there for a start? Who's going to win the second ball? You're looking at them. I'm thinking to myself with that manager, well, what more is that manager going to do? You know, I'm like I just mentioned Glasner. 13 games, look at Palace. They've changed. Mm. You know, the Palace started, obviously, they went with De Boer, it didn't work. Then they went back to Roy. They went with Patrick, it didn't work. And back to De Boer. They want to do something where they can go somewhere else. And they've now found a manager who has won stuff as well, let's face it. And look at the Palace team.
Yeah, but Palace
how can it take so long? How can
Palace
it take so long? Are you still saying? Are you still saying that our man?
I think. Are you comparing Crystal Palace to Man United? It's all right getting a manager
at the moment.
Crystal Palace.
Yeah. At the moment,
we're a Palace in the league. Palace are a good little run at home.
Yes, but Palace have just changed their managers 13
games. So Palace have got all the answers then?
Right. No, they've got all the answers, but
they've got structure.
They've got structure and they've got good players.
They've got two
of the best players.
They've got two of the best players playing. They've got two very good players. Palace are 14th in the league, so don't get all excited about Crystal Palace.
No. It's got nothing to do with getting all excited about Crystal Palace. What I'm excited about Palace is that their manager is changing something for them.
No, but right, I think with all
it. Mr. Lord.
Elise. Ezzy and Elise coming back. Roy didn't have them for about 3 or 4 months. Massive problem that. I mean,
even without them, they still didn't play the brand of football. I'm just saying, we're talking about Adam Walton and Hughes now playing great football, passing it through. You know, Anderson locking up. They've got a structure of play. This is what I'm trying to say. You're not saying that he might still be there in the
summer. We're a Palace now. They're up to 14th.
But I'm not bothered about where they are. I'm talking about their
position. You're not bothered where they are.
No, because I'm talking about...
It's pretty important where you're on the league table, isn't it?
No, but you're being facetious now. You're being facetious in what you're saying. Simply because. You know what I mean? What I'm saying is the way that Palace...
You're saying Palace got all the answers.
No,
what Palace for the last 20
Palace
years?
Palace are the team that just absolutely hammered fucking United. Yeah. I'm talking about Palace because they're in the moment.
And they beat Newcastle. They beat West Ham. They're beating good teams.
Yes, and with a new manager that knows what he's doing. This is the point I'm trying to make.
Well, we'll see him next year. He's had a good start. If he loses them two players, if he sells them, what'll happen?
Well, we'll see. Palace have got to get some love as well because you know it's all United and we've heard it all.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean, James?
There's none here.
Let's shake hands and make
a Palace 14.
We don't speak about United enough on this podcast.
I know episode 29.
Can we have an apology? Can we have an apology for me for being late?
I do apologise.
I haven't got the questions.
What's up with you?
I haven't got community questions.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
Jesus, what's happened to this show?
Anyone got a question they'd like to ask on football?
Go on, Jay.
Anyone got a question? Go on, throw something in.
How much for the clothes? How much for the advert? You know what the bit I loved?
Go on.
Well, you done that with your arm? What did they? this 18.
I'd love to have seen when they said, Gary, can you just do
this?
I'm just branching out. I'm living my life in reverse.
It was like, David,
I love it. I love it.
I thought you looked smart.
Thank you, Jill.
You like the more casual
you
look.
You could get some of them clothes for the Euros. Honestly. Can you kit Roy out?
You know what I thought was funny? See Scholes' reply on the Instagram and mine, and did you see Jamie Redknapp's?
Yeah.
Jamie was like, well done.
He's a good bloke. Yeah, exactly.
That's what I do.
Me and Jamie Redknapp are in the same. We're in the same. You've got a clothes deal, haven't you?
Look, we have.
You've got a clothes deal. You'll be Adidas, obviously, as well. Jill, you got a clothes deal.
Nike, yeah.
It wasn't the clothes, it wasn't the deal. Look, you make a few quid.
Good, you know?
I think Nike Jamie's forgot happy I'm for still you. Sponsored, yeah. actually.
What's that mean, Gav? Jesus.
Okay, so just the other night, what do you think players say to each other when they walk off the pitch covering their mouths?
Oh, that's so annoying.
Oh, that
obviously saying something bad, though. Oh, my.
You know why it wound me up? Right, because I'd watched in the game. So on the Monday Night Football, you know, you're watching on the normal TV that everyone's watching, and you've got like the screen where you've got every player in view. So the second half, Man United counter-attack, and Antony plays a ball into Hoyland. It's a bit of a mix-up.
Yeah.
And he's throwing his arms at Hoyland, and I'm watching it. And then they go back and defend a corner, and he's still doing it and doing all this. And I was like, I hate that. I mean, you know, like that. And I feel a bit sorry for Hoyland, whether I'm right or wrong. I feel like he's...
He's a young lad.
He's probably... The jump's probably been a little bit too much for him to start with. He probably should have gone somewhere else for 2 years, then United maybe. And I just felt sorry for him. I could see him. I'm thinking,
anybody who's hiding their mouths, they're not saying something.
And then he's
good,
coming off. And I know what he's... Listen, we've seen... He's talking about one of the players. He's talking about the manager. He's not talking about where they're going at, you know, tomorrow, is he?
Said three times.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, like, I hate all that whispering when you've had a bad defeat. People like talking about someone no.
On this show of Stick to Football, we've been working with BetterHelp. Life does move fast, things change, and if you're having a bad day or a bad time, it really does sometimes help to go and get therapy and just take stock of things and get some support. That happened to me back in 2000 after the enormous high of winning a treble. Within 6 months, I was playing terribly. I'd given away 2 goals in a World Club Championship, and I'd had a relationship built, a breakup of about 7 years. And those 6 or 8 sessions that I had with that therapist, psychologist back at that time, those coping mechanisms I still use to this day. Visit betterhelp.com/STF today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/STF. Okay, not one for me because I don't own a cat or a dog, but someone's asked, what's the best thing about owning a cat or a dog?
Walking it.
That's changed the tempo, hasn't it?
You know what? There's nothing, for me, like Roy, probably just, cats are amazing. I love them. You know what I mean? I'm so deep into them now. Have you seen cat's eyes?
Yeah, I'm not anti-cats.
You prefer dogs?
Yeah, I prefer dogs.
I'm not anti-cats.
No.
You've got a dog.
I've never had a pet in my life. I'm so cats.
No, I've not got a pet.
You've got one.
I've not got a pet.
I can't see you sitting, stroking.
The reason I don't have a pet is because I wouldn't be able to give it the time that would need. And
you're selfish. What are you going to try and talk around that? It's just selfishness. What? Find time for a cat. I didn't have time for a cat, but now
I've found time for the kids.
Find time. It's not like you're going to have the cat and the cat's going to be like, oh, where's Gary? Oh, God, Gary's gone out again. Fucking get a cat in the house.
Right, I might get a dog then. Get a dog for starting.
You'll have to do a lot more work with a dog.
It wouldn't be a cat, it'd be a dog.
Yeah, dogs.
Well, you've got to be committed then.
Yeah.
Go.
Exercise.
Got to
walk.
Be committed.
Feed them. No, my wife's mum's got a cat. She swears, but she literally will live by the cat's clock and won't come out at certain times, make sure that
routine.
You know what was happening with the cats the other day because they were inside too. Nova and Sydney. We had two, so they were inside cats. And then now we're letting them out, but like, starting to let them out. And then the other night, I was outside, underpants and vest. Couldn't find them. Wouldn't come in, 2 o'clock in the morning. But I found them.
Why is it always 2 in the morning?
Is that like...
I don't know what it was. 2 in the morning. So the cats are still not coming, so I had to go back out. I had to go back and find them, and I was really worried. It was like one of my kids ain't come home for the disco or something.
But you know, cats have a few homes, don't they? So they would have,
you know. What do you mean they got a few homes?
You wouldn't just be your home. They've got other houses.
No. Our cats are too young to go.
So where were they?
I don't know.
Right.
Roy, that's
you've got to put them in. You've got to put them in when you go on holiday, haven't you? You've got to put them animals.
You don't put a tag on it, like a little thing on its collar that means that you can sort of like a chip thing. Chip,
yeah. And then we're going to do the obviously the electronic cat flap where they come in, and then we'll get people to maybe come in and feed them. But I worry about them all the time.
Roy, you've probably got the most famous relationship around this table with a pet because obviously you walk your dogs quite a lot.
Right.
What
was it? Was he's it? Always.
It wasn't an attack.
He's always in the woods, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
You are always outside.
But do you know something? I feel like you literally live your life by your dogs. If you don't walk your dogs,
I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, you'd have a routine and you have to look after them and walk them. And I would have been out this morning before I came here. Yeah, you have a routine with
it's
your
a
dogs.
It's a beautiful thing when
I've
you
always
see
had dogs. Yeah, going back in Ireland, when I was growing up in Ireland, yeah, we've always had dogs in the house. Just
we it love gets the pets,
good security,
though,
gives
it?
You get your ex good for a bit of exercise. Yeah, love them to bits.
It's nice the way Roy sees his dogs.
Mine are getting a bit old now and a bit frail, and that's always the worry then when something happens to them. And but yeah.
I've got a bulldog. She walks about 10 steps and wants to come back, so don't get out for long. They're quite lazy dogs.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't be a lover of that type of dog, if you know what I mean.
Oh, thanks.
No, I wouldn't be. I like dogs that you need to exercise. Yeah. It's not personal. Everyone likes their own dogs.
It's like calling my child.
Yes. Oh,
but I have a lab. A German Shepherd's
are they the best?
Your dogs are cute, actually, to be
you've
fair.
Got Lee two dogs.
And he's got Champions League dog.
Come on.
And on that note, another episode of Stick to Football is finished. An eclectic episode of Stick to Football where we've done some important work at the start.
Yes.
The CPR.
What was it? We have to do it again.
We did the work with Tom Lockyer.
Tom Lockyer, you missed it.
Oh, jeez.
Exactly. Hey, do you know what I mean?
Sorry, Tom. I've done more work than you with this. Tom.
Tom, in you come to finish.
Tom,
actually,
you come quick.
Tom,
you
know, seriously.
I changed government legislation over this.
Spell it, eh?
We got them in all the schools. Up and down the country.
But you missed it. We'd have to leave that bit out.
Can we leave that bit out?
Thank you.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.